to look in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verses 12 through 16, where we'll be studying the promises made to Abraham and to those in this chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, I want to begin reading with verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the skies in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In verse 12 it says, there sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And also in this passage of Scripture, we read of the promises that were made to these that all died in faith in verse 13, where it says, not having received the promises. We know that in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, there are many promises. We think about prayer promises. But this passage of Scripture is not talking about a multitude of promises, but basically it's speaking about two promises made to Abraham. These promises that were given to them encouraged people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to seek a heavenly city. Even though we will see in just a moment that they were promised some land. And they were seeking a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. And this is one of the promises that was made to Abraham as well. In other words, God promised him an earthly inheritance, and he promised him a heavenly inheritance as well. So these are the two promises that Hebrews 11 is dealing with. And I want us to reflect on that this morning. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, it says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the services of God, service of God, and the promises, plural in number? It was to the Jews that the adoption of sonship was offered. It was to the Jews that God offered glory. He made covenants with them. He made the covenant in the Old Testament. He made the covenant that has to do with new life, a new heart. So God made covenants with the nation of Israel. And he also gave them the law, and they passed that on to us. And also the promises. In Romans 15, verse 8, it says, now I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. I think it's interesting to see that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. Circumcision was given to Abraham before the law. And Jesus was a minister of circumcision to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And when I think of the fathers, I think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Obviously, there are other fathers that we can include. But if you are talking about the fathers, you've got to include Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these three men did not receive the law. Moses, I would say, could be part of the fathers, in that they are, depending upon when you we're talking about the fathers, obviously. But Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. And by the way, circumcision is a token of the covenant that God made with Abraham that pertains to the righteousness which is of faith. And we'll look at that we've looked at it before. But let's continue. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said, not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Abraham had two seeds. One was Ishmael, and one was Isaac. And when we think about the promises being made, he says, not unto seeds as of many, that is, Ishmael and Isaac, but only to Isaac. Now this promise does not have anything to do with salvation. This has to do with inheritance. Inheritance is a family matter. Ishmael and Isaac were both of the seed of Abraham. But the blessed seed, or the promise, was made to Isaac and his descendants and not to Ishmael. When I see the term and the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ, I think of the verse of Matthew chapter 20 verse 16, where it says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." When I think about the fact that Ishmael was the firstborn, and this verse here says, the first shall be last. Was Ishmael last? He sure was. The inheritance that Ishmael got was a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. Where Isaac, on the other hand, got all that Abraham had. And he had gold and silver and flocks and servants. When you think of the comparison, there is no comparison. But anyway, the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. In Galatians chapter 4, we see the two promises. Verse 23 says, "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the two testaments, the two promises. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Notice that Mount Sinai is outside the land of Canaan, not even in the land that God promised to Isaac. But here we find that Ishmael is to be associated with Mount Sinai, because what happened at Mount Sinai? The law was given. And continuing, "And it answers to the Jerusalem which now is," that is, an earthly Jerusalem with an earthly promise and an earthly inheritance, "and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem which is above, heavenly, is free." In other words, the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is in the heavenlies, is what Abraham and those in Hebrews 11 were looking for. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They're looking for a heavenly city. And it was the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. So the two promises have to do with an earthly and a heavenly seed. An earthly inheritance and a heavenly inheritance. Ishmael is a picture and a type of the earthly seed with an earthly inheritance, and Isaac is a picture of the heavenly seed with a heavenly inheritance. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Here we find God promising to Abraham and his seed this land. This land was not in Arabia at the time that he is promising him. He is in Canaan at this time. Then we find again a reference to the land in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee. Again, God promising Abraham land. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, it says, And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Here we find God referring to Abraham's seed as the dust of the earth. We have a little dust around our house, and I have never picked up a grain of dust, one at a time. Neither have I tried to count the dust. And so here we find a reference to Abraham's seed being innumerable. Okay? And that innumerable seed has been promised land in Canaan. Then in Genesis 15, in verse 18, it says, And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And I think the river of Egypt is the Nile River. So God has promised Abraham and his seed from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. And you can put a lot of dust in that area. There's room to put an innumerable host of Abraham's seed in that area of the world. So we find God promising him the land. But we see something a little different in Genesis 15 in verse 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. By the way, this being counted to him for righteousness is not when Abraham was saved. Abraham had been saved many years before, and so this is not a salvation experience. This is Abraham believing what God told him about his heavenly seed, his heavenly inheritance. Because Abraham had said, why can't my servant be an heir at this particular time? And God said, No, he will be coming from your bowels. But here we find Abraham, or God promising to Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars. Now, because we have telescopes today, we can look into the heavens and see innumerable stars. But in Abraham's day, he couldn't do that. So when we're talking about stars of the heavens, we're not talking about an innumerable amount of stars, like in the case of dust or sand. Okay? Let's look at this a little closer. In Romans chapter 4, 11, by the way, dealing with this, he counted it to him for righteousness, said, He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. This word them is referenced to both Jew and Gentile, because this righteousness was given to Abraham before the law, and this righteousness is given to them that are faithful. The word believe is in the present tense. So the sign of circumcision that was given to Abraham had to do with his seed, his heavenly seed, and it was a token. In Genesis 17:11, it says, And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Now, when Jesus Christ came in Acts chapter 13 and verse 32, It says, "We declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." The promise that was made to Abraham and his heavenly seed was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ being raised from the dead made faith operative. It made it possible for us to please God. And notice that it's the promise, singular in number, that was fulfilled in the resurrection. Let me just affirm this. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was for the sins of the whole world. But when you're making the distinction between an earthly seed and a heavenly seed, we're talking about the sins of as many people as there will accept the Savior, can be saved and will be saved, and they are included in that group. The nation of Israel, as well as those that are being saved today. But there is a seed which is a heavenly seed even today. In Hebrews 11:12, we are reminded again of the fact that there are stars and there are sand. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him good is dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. You see the word multitude? In Acts chapter 28, verse 3, we have an incident where Paul picks up a bundle of sticks. The word multitude and the word bundle are the same Greek word. And so when Paul picked up a bundle of sticks, it simply meant that those sticks could be counted. If you think about picking up a bucket of sand or a bucket of dust, I don't think you're going to count that. I don't think you're going to even count a bucket of sand. I'm sure that it's possible to do that if you can live long enough. But the point here is this: the stars are smaller in count than the sand in count. Notice in Psalm 147, verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by name. Stars have names. That simply means that they are countable. You don't name grains of sand, but you name stars. I think there's roughly around 6,000 stars that you can see with the naked eye today. I'm not sure, that's around 6,000. I know that you can send off and have one of them named after you if you pay them enough money. But anyway, stars. In Job 38, we find that God refers to some of those stars that by name. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Here we have the seven stars of Pleiades mentioned. Those are stars that are named. We have the constellation Orion. He didn't name the stars in them, but I know he knows the names of every star in that constellation. And the word Maseroth is a reference to the 12 zodiac signs. Today, the devil has made the zodiac signs an evil thing, because you'll be able, in other words, you use that rather than the Word of God to help you to be guided in your daily walk. But he makes reference to the 12 signs of the constellation, and then there's the constellation the Bear. So the stars have been numbered, are numberable, and they have names. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, when Abraham is offering Isaac in sacrifice, he says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. This verse tells us that there are two seeds, a heavenly seed, an earthly seed. both of them will possess the gates of their enemies. What does that mean, to possess the gates? What happened in the gate of the cities of the east, the far east, or the near east? The government went on in the gates. It was in the gates that Absalom stole the hearts of the people from David, his father. Absalom judged the people, and the people liked the way he judged. And so it's in the gates of the cities. It's where the government is conducted. And one day, the Jews are going to possess the gates of their oppressors. One day, we're going to possess the gates of our oppressors. Who are our oppressors? Where is our battle? Our battle is in the heavenlies. We battle against principalities and powers and in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6. And so here we have a reference to stars and sand. We have a heavenly realm where people are ruling and reigning today. We have an earthly realm, and we will one day rule our enemies. It's interesting to note in Nehemiah 9, verse 23, where it says, Their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou didst promise to their fathers, that is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they should go in and possess it. Here we have a reference to the children of the children of Israel who left the land of Egypt. The word there has to do with the parents. And the children are those that are 20 and under. And he made the children who are 20 and under what? Stars. Now this is in type or in picture. Because mom and dad did not enter the land flowing with milk and honey. They got their inheritance outside the land flowing with milk and honey, which is in type and picture, an earthly inheritance. They got their inheritance was where the descendants of Lot's inheritance was. Ammon and Moab. Also outside was Manasseh and Gad and Reuben. And Ishmael's inheritance was outside the land, as well as Esau. These men, their inheritance was outside the land. And that's a picture of those who have an earthly or an earthly inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10, Moses says, "The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." You know who he was talking to? He's talking to the children of the parents who left Egypt. They are the ones who will enter the land flowing with milk and honey. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 22, "Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. Now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." Mom and dad weren't stars, but the kids were. They are the ones who enter the land. Now, what are we trying to say here is this. There are two inheritances, or two seeds, an earthly seed. They will live for eternity here on the earth. The heavenly seed will live in eternity in the heavenlies. Now, the earthly seed will be ruling and reigning here on the earth over their enemies. And just like today, from a heavenly perspective, we have a heavenly body of people or individuals that are ruling and reigning today over the earth. And those people right now are under the control of Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, "Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground? Thou didst weaken the nations." The word Lucifer is a Latin word that means son of a morning star. Lucifer and the fallen angels are stars. They're ruling in the heavens today. In Isaiah 14:13 it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Who are the stars of God referring to here? He's not talking about the stars that we see in a telescope. Why would Satan want to have his throne above a bunch of shiny lights? What Satan was doing was exalting himself above the stars that are ruling and reigning from the heavens that belong to God. And what happened was he took a third of them with him when he fell. He says, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." The throne of God is in the north. We find further light on this in Job 1:6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them." The sons of God is a reference to the stars of God. And the stars of God, or the sons of God, who are stars, are before the throne, and Satan is there too. In Daniel 10:1, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia." Here we have a reference to an earthly king. When you read down in Daniel 10:13, you find an earthly or a heavenly prince who is over the earthly king. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So here we find angelic activity going on in the heavenlies, and Michael having to intervene over the prince who is over the king of Persia. And then in Job 38:7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." This shows you that the sons of God and the stars of heaven are of the same multitude. Now, how should we relate to this? Well, we have been given a promise to have a heavenly inheritance. Just as in the Old Testament, there were those who disqualified themselves from an inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey. And that is the descendants of, Reuben. Let's just take Reuben. What did Reuben do? He committed fornication. He defiled his father's bed. And that will disqualify you from having an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You're not lost. You just don't have a heavenly inheritance. Now, we can live our lives in a way that pleases Him. We can live by faith. And to live by faith, you have to be just. And to be just, you have to obey the moral law. And you cannot live in sin and live by faith at the same time. Period. So, we can live like Hebrews 11:16, where it says, "Now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." These people in Hebrews 11 were strangers and pilgrims where? Here on the earth. They were looking for a heavenly inheritance, a heavenly blessing, heavenly promise. And you know what? God was not ashamed to be called their God. And when I'm reminded of what it tells us in Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my star." He shall be my son. He will rule and reign from the heavens over whom? All the kingdoms that Satan rules today. The overcomer will rule and reign. So when we think about the promises, we're thinking of two. There are two promises made to Abraham, an earthly and a heavenly. And I'm encouraging you to prepare for a heavenly inheritance today. And we can do that by living like pilgrims and strangers here on the earth. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can read it and feed upon it and rightly divide it. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a heavenly hope with a heavenly vision that we can sit together in heavenly places with you and anticipate a heavenly inheritance. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to live a life that would be found pleasing to you, so that when we stand before you, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless these thoughts to each of our hearts and help us to appreciate the promises that you made to Abraham and the blessings that can be our portion. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.